PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of The Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Kevin Napier of Mitsubishi Golf. Kevin, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dan. Appreciate it.
It is kind of a special one this week because you are on property there at the Open. How exciting is that?
It's exciting. My first Open Championship, and to have it here at Port Rush is special. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of work, but special one for sure. So
yeah. Hey, give us a little insight on your timeline with Mitsubishi and what exactly it is you do there.
Sure. So my timeline with Mitsubishi, I was hired at the end of 2020. So COVID, and then hired for LPGA. So I worked LPGA for a year and a half. Moved to PGA after that, and have been here ever since. So in saying that, I still support some DP, you know, world, and you know, I'll go to an LPGA event every once in a while and Korn Ferry, but over here this week, over here for the Scottish last week, and now the Open Championship, which is somewhat surreal. So this will be my fifth year with Mitsubishi Chemical.
Awesome. And your primary role is just connected on the tour, working with the pros and getting them dialed in?
That's it. So anybody that needs our help, we're happy to help them directly, or you know, a lot of the times we'll work hand in hand with the club companies out here as well. So they kind of drive the ship, and we kind of sit in the passenger seat and help them fit anyone or anyone that they need our help with.
That's awesome. I think I read somewhere that is it Diamana that is one of the most popular shafts on the LPGA tour?
It is. Yeah. It is actually the most popular shaft and has been for about a year now. So, you know, our sixth gen line is the current Diamana line with RB, BB, and WB, which stand for red board, white board, and blue board. But yes, our LPGA rep, full-time rep out there, Joel Lynch, does an amazing job, goes to every domestic event he can and a couple outside of the U.S., but we are a pretty good number one out there as far as usage in woods. That's drivers and wood shafts. So
I believe that Diamana is, I think, like 21 years old at this point, and you guys consider it in a lot of ways your flagship or foundation mm-hmm. of the Mitsubishi mm-hmm. story. It sort of makes me sick that I'm, you know, now 40 thinking about, like, there are kids who grew up and Diamana could be like the only thing they knew, and they've sort of grown with the brand during their life cycle. I've seen a little bit before that, so it's a bit different for me. But you know, how much of that is brand recognition, seeing the Diamana down the shaft? A lot of people know it, some huge success in the past for it. Do you think that plays a role, or is it just purely the quality that goes into the products?
I really think it's both. I honestly think it's both. So it's a great story, obviously, and it's our flagship product. So we use the best material we can in that product. Just in saying that, the white board and the blue board and the red board are very similar as far as structure. And then the white board is somewhat, more of a, you know, kind of a, it's a part that we based on a previous shaft that had a lot of success, actually our most successful shaft. And we don't deviate that from anything. So structure wise, it's going to be the same. Material wise, we will update materials a little bit. You know, you can't have the same product every year. You know, Ferrari doesn't put out the same car every year. So you have to mix it up a little bit, right? So, you know, we're not going to put out an inferior product. We do rigorous testing, players, amateurs, all ability levels before we bring a product to tour. Of course, we test it out here as well. And it is our flagship product. So it is our global flagship product. So anybody who sees that Diamana, especially, you know, the iconic board logo, really kind of knows what that product is and what it has been and the success that we've had over the last, like you said, 21 years.
Yeah. What a storyline, what a depth to that conversation for Diamano. I think a lot of folks from my community are really wrapped up in some of the limited edition stuff you guys are doing, like the red, white, and blue. Oh, you see the Masters. So are you having fun seeing the different types of it come out and knowing that that's the bone structure still perfectly there? You just get to have a little bit more spice to it now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our inside team does a great job, you know, doing promotions with those season opener and, you know, major releases that US play with the whiteboard. But it looked like the old popsicle used to eat the bomb pop. And so many players, do you remember that old?
Many
players look at that and see that. And they're like, oh, it looks like that. I'm like, you know, it has the whiteboard. It was the blue board. You know, the part was the blue board. But it's special. It's you know, they had the acorns like mixed with the flowers up top. So the little details like that, you know, people get excited about. It's fun to see, and it's fun. It's always look forward to seeing those. You know, we see them obviously, you know, months in advance, and you know, we tweak, you know, things here and there. But our team, yeah, inside does an amazing job with the graphics of that stuff, and it excites people. You know, I put one in my driver, so you can see it from a mile away. But yeah, it's got everything on, and the little soft touch.
I think I lost you a little bit there, Kevin.
Okay.
It's all right.
Sorry about
that. Yeah, I got you now. That's all right. I do have sort of my storyline on Mitsubishi is built around Tensei. I had some incredible success with the white and the orange. I think that came out around like 2015 and really started to get involved in my bag, especially in driver, fairway, and hybrid, really. What's it like to see that line grow? I know you came in a little bit later where you had some depth to the lineup, but sure. these high-end options that you have, we have 1K now, and like
right.
really high-end options that allow your players to explore it a little bit more. Is it make it a lot easier to get on the range with these guys and just really help them refine it to their world?
It does, because a lot of those guys with the Tensei line, a lot of those guys play the next progression in. You know, whereas, you know, Tensei AV Raw, the one with the silver aluminum vapor up top, so it had that silver looking layer up top to give it a little bit more stability. They love that. It's an iconic line. And then they see the next line come out, you know, like 1K, and they don't have any problems testing it because they know it holds up. They know they've had success with it. And they know they can trust it, especially from, you know, from us at Mitsubishi. So the 1K line with the 1K weave in the handle just gives you that much more stability. That's something we're going to move forward with for a while. And the Tensei line is, you know, I wouldn't say it's as iconic as Diamana because it is a shorter, you know, story and maybe only have, I think, four or five lines from the Tensei line. But you know, Tensei is all about stability, and you know, we have guys that swing 105 out here with a driver. We have guys that swing 130 out here in Tensei. You know, there's a now pro that just turned pro and has played, you know, three or four events and has played the Masters as an amateur. That's 125 guy and has 1K white in and has had that in for 2.5 years now and played that previously when he was a junior, you know, the AV white. So, you know, those guys, it doesn't matter if they're 20 years old or older in their career. They know that, you know, that iconic, you know, stripe on the shaft, and they know what that shaft's going to do. So it's important to us to not change it too much, but change it just enough to wear, you know, a material here, a layer here, something in the tip with a new technology is going to make it that much better. You know, you don't want to change it too much because guys, you know, we're creatures of habit. We want to have somewhat of the same feel and the same result, but even more so out here on the tour. So yeah, Tensei is you know, it's iconic. You see those you know, orange, white. You know, we had a special edition green one for a player over in Asia recently. So people know and see that color, and it pops, and they know it's going to perform.
I'd love to know, you mentioned familiarity and how people are willing to try something that they might recognize. I think right. That's a big conversation in golf. You either make it look fun or crazy to get people to get it to it, or you have recognition. And I think Diamana is an easy example of that. I think Tensei has become a pretty solid staple for a lot of players. When it comes to the guys on tour, I assume they're a little bit more nitpicky and careful about what they're making shift or shifting to. What are right. the challenges like for you out there? How willing to work with it are they?
I would say it's player dependent, you know. I can't specifically say names, but you know, a lot of the guys that are in Tensei don't really leave. You know, I'm standing here looking at the range right now, and I see three or four Tenseis on the range, and you know, these three guys are top 25 players, and they've had some kind of way, shape, or form Tensei in a longer wood. You know, it may not be a driver every year, or it may not be a fairway wood every year, but they're always going to come back to it. And you'll see a top 25 player this week who has recently switched driver manufacturers and is not contracted by any certain company. You'll see a switch from a Diamana to a Tensei this week. I can't say that player's name, but they do have multiple major wins in the last 5 years. It's not common that you see somebody go from Diamana to Tensei, but if they're trying to, you know, for instance, this player is trying to tighten up a cut, so they have switched heads. The head is, they still have a slight miss, have a slight left miss with the Diamana, and they play an older Diamana, which is very, very, very successful. But with this miss and the head switch, they saw a left miss and wanted to kind of guard from that. So we stiffened up the tip a little bit, went into a Tensei orange, 1K orange, which is slightly counterbalanced. And firm the tip up so the player's not seeing as much droop. So the shaft droops when coming through at impact. And you won't see that head rotate as much because that tip is just slightly stiffer. So I'm sure that will get a little bit of buzz this week, and those on the forum will see that. But looking forward to seeing that player have some success. So yeah, absolutely. It's not uncommon for that to happen.
Do you find that there's a tour that's more willing to explore or less willing
yes.
to explore? Yeah.
100%. So me being lucky to be out on the LPGA and then coming here, the LPGA, they want to test. They want to find a little bit more yardage. They want to find a little less left to right or right to left. They look forward to testing more than any tour I've ever worked. Corn Ferry is a little bit like that, whereas you know, they're trying to find and fine tune with us there, and they're willing to work with us there. However, PGA Tour, they are creatures of habit. They don't change a lot. They know what they like. They've seen what they like a long time. It's rare that a top 50 player changes, you know, kind of mid-season, unless something's not working right, or they've switched heads or something of that nature. So.
Yeah, there's an interesting deviation there. I had a feeling I knew the answer, but you know, there's also a little bit of fear. I think people find what really works for them and want to lean into it a lot. And I totally get that. I mean, I have Tensei shafts that have lasted a very long time in a head sure. because it's worked incredibly well. And that's sort of the argument we sure. have here, right? So,
sure.
You mentioned stiffening up the tip and making subtle changes, also going to a counterbalance, which definitely changes the experience for the player, especially where right. the head is. But sure. One of the things that people don't talk enough of is that while shafts can all have a profile, they operate slightly differently depending on the swing that's on it. So, you know, is it challenging to avoid putting each shaft into its own realm and saying, well, this is what will happen to you? Is it easier to tell them like, hey, hit this and let's work through it and see what it does for your game?
Right. Yes. Good question and good point. To answer that, yes. Some players, you know, it doesn't matter if it's an amateur or somebody out here on the tee playing this Open Championship. They're creatures of habit. They have a feel, or they have a result, or they have a window. You know, you hear that term a lot with a better player or professional, that they want to see the ball come out of, or that they want to feel when they are swinging. So, you know, like a player that pulls hard from the top and kind of drags it a little bit, drags the handle and keeps the face open, obviously that's going to be a fade and they're from the outside. You know what I'm saying? And that person, you know, tends to want to have maybe a little bit of a tighter midsection or a tighter tip, depending on what they want to feel. And, you know, we do prototyping stuff as well. So we can make something if somebody wants to feel something a little different, or if somebody's seeing a little too much droop in a shaft, we can make something as far as to try to help that for them. But every player is different. You know, some players are feel players. Some players, you know, want to see a result. And I feel like there's a shift with players out here. You know, obviously players are getting faster, bigger, stronger, faster. We're seeing ball speeds go up, you know, every year out here as far as averages, and the player getting younger and younger. Of course, we look to a certain kind of move from the top, kind of where they start releasing their hands, kind of what they want to see through impact, whether they are a dragger or kind of a swinger of the club. What's their direction? What's their path? So we look at all of that when trying to make a choice with shaft. And sometimes a player doesn't want to do that. They want to look at a result rather than a feel. So players are shifting quite a bit, like I said, getting stronger, bigger, faster, but it's still player dependent.
Okay. So the last 2 weeks for you have been a little bit interesting in that you're overseas, you're on the ground there. I'm curious, when it comes to players, are they consistent with the shafts they choose week over week, or because they're at the Open right now, potentially expecting lots of wind, maybe some firm or soft fairways, are they shifting the shafts or even the shaft makeups at all to accommodate for those conditions?
Very rarely. So I would say shaft is more of a feel thing out here and a confidence thing. They will do more with the head and even golf ball before they start changing shafts or quote unquote tipping shafts, you know, making it a little bit stiffer by cutting off more material at the end on the tip. You won't see many shaft changes this week. We treat it, and I treat it just like any other major where, you know, I'm busy working with these guys and these companies trying to dial their player in. If it's here and they're doing some work, it's either because, you know, they haven't had the luxury of having a rep with them, you know, at previous events, or they have been home, you know, not playing events and trying to dial in everything there. So to answer your question, you won't see many shaft changes or tweaks here. It will be more, you know, maybe a lower lofted head or maybe even a spinnier or less spinnier golf ball before they change shafts.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are curious as the amateur world shifts more to graphite and irons and even wedges. MMT has kind of taken on a life of its own in the stronger player realm, at least on the amateur side. What's the experience you've had on tour with that? Has there been many players gravitating towards it, or at least experimenting with it?
Yes, more and more. So, excuse me, this week will be a big week for utility irons. That's always a big week, just as last week at Scottish Open. You know, a couple companies brought out new utility irons last week. But yeah, MMT, I would say I've probably seen about 6 to 8 MMT utility irons get built this week by different companies. That part really kind of cuts down on movement left to right or right to left, and is very, very, very consistent as far as spin window, launch. We want to see it, you know, you don't want to see a lot of movement out of a utility iron. You want to hit it straight. You're trying to keep it low. You're trying to flight it under the wind. You're trying to get it on the ground quick and let it run. So we have, you know, the regular MMT iron, which is a taper, you know, part that we use mostly out here, 105 and 125. We make a utility iron shaft strictly for that, which has a little bit higher kick, a little bit less torque, so it doesn't twist and keeps the ball down even more than the iron shaft. And then we make a MMT hybrid shaft. So all three of those parts, kind of the structure is stiff handle and progressively kind of get softer, but they still are very stiff, very stout parts. That MMT mesh cuts down on deflection, so deflection at impact, and really is very consistent as far as coming out of the window, giving you a nice feel and really performing over here, you know, kind of cutting under the wind. But the iron shafts, compared to the utility shaft, the iron shaft will cut down on a player that moves the ball a lot. So, you know, kind of a big sweeping draw or a big fade, and that player wants to kind of tighten that movement up. That MMT is a great option for somebody that wants to do that and have a little bit more feel. So that technology, yeah, that technology of graphite shafts in the last, you know, 8 to 10 years is night and day from previous years.
Has that caused a lot of surprise as you see pros go through it? Because I think a lot of people have this sort of expectation of graphite, especially when it comes to iron shafts, that it's soft, right, and whippy, right, and light, yep, and et cetera.
Exactly.
You know, you're doing an awful lot different there with, you know, 125 grams with clearly a mesh profile that is stable enough to control left or right. So
yeah,
is there a lot of surprise when they go through it? Is there
yes, expectations? Yes, there's a lot of surprise when a player hits it, and it doesn't matter if it's a five handicap or a tour pro. So, you know, in the last live event I attended, I think I had six sets in play. So six wow. sets of MMT irons in play. You will see two in play here this week, from past champions. So, yes, they do hold up. They aren't just a part that you go get off the rack and it hits the ball as high as possible and spins anymore. That's not graphite anymore. There is actually, I mean, like I said earlier, the technology, the material is the big story in MMT, and it's just so consistent on what you can do as opposed to a steel shaft that's, you know, extruded. And that's how that's made, or we can roll graphite and really dial in sections and pieces of where we want, what we want the wow. shaft to do. Yeah.
Hey, is there a shaft that you've seen in your time with the company that has done the most to surprise golfers? And I'll add a second question to that. Is there a shaft that has surprised you during that time?
That is a great question. That is a fabulous question. I would tend to say the shaft that's held up as far as it's still getting used and asked for since I started, is Tensei 1K White. So that particular part has been played by, you know, LPGA players. That part is played by, you know, two top 10 guys out here on PGA Tour that are 125 plus, and that shaft holds up well with LPGA players to boot. So, you know, LPGA, your average driver swing, I would say 95, 96, maybe a hair lower. Out here, you know, PGA Tour 116, 115, you know, depends what tour, but the guys, that's pretty much the average. That part has worked so well across all tours, across all abilities, even in amateurs that I've fit. That part still holds up as well as any Tensei part I've ever worked with. And it doesn't matter the player's ability or the speed. So I would say that would be the most, that since I've been with Mitsubishi, that part is, from what I've seen, is the most versatile.
Interesting. And that is a little bit of a firmer midsection with slightly softer in the hands and in the tip.
Yeah, I would say a little stiffer in the tip, a little softer in the hands, but stiff midsection. Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't expect Tensei White. That's really interesting. I have another question as it relates to putter shafts. And again, I'm going to keep you as long as I can, Kevin, but if you have to run, please let us know. Cause I know there's good. Lots going on. We've talked a lot on THP recently about the putter shafts are available, and there are a couple different options if memory serves me correctly, but as far as the tour goes, what is it like trying to talk them into graphite from what has been pretty traditionally dominated by steel?
Right. So, you're definitely looking for a player that is very specific in what they want. So, week in, week out, we will have 3 to 5, you know, Diamana putter shafts in play. A lot of those guys have had it in for a while. We get a test every now and then, but I'd say what Diamana does well with the putter is it enhances everything that a putter does. So if you're looking at an insert putter, if you're looking at a, you know, an OEM that has is known for inserts, it enhances that feel. It makes that feel a little bit more feedback through the shaft as opposed to a steel part. I know this is odd, but players listen to sound. You know, sound is feel out here. It doesn't matter if it's a driver, an iron, a putter. It enhances the sound as well. I know that sounds odd for a shaft to do that, but also you'll see a lot of times when we're measuring with Quintec or SAM or some kind of launch monitor with putter, you'll see that ball start rolling a little bit more, which is a huge factor, and it rolls a little bit earlier coming off of the face. It's something that is measurable now that probably wasn't measurable 10 or 12 years ago. So if somebody is wanting to enhance the way a putter feels and performs, you know, we're talking about very, very small enhancements here. But again, we're trying to get the best and the most out of every shot. And if we can make a putter feel better to a player, you know, good, better, best, if we can make that putter feel better, and get a little better result and a little tighter, you know, kind of not left to right, but a little tighter speed control is another thing that we've tested with it on robots and with players. We do have an ambassador out here that is a coach, and Steven Sweeney, who does a lot of testing for us. And week in, week out, he'll say, you know, tested with another player, and he works with amateurs too. He said, it does everything a putter does better.
Mm.
So,
yeah, I've actually had the privilege of rolling one in my putter for the majority of this year. And, you know, I think there's been this huge rage to go zero torque and all that, but I found that generating more feel, getting a little bit more of a loading sensation in there, feeling connected to the head, is something that I desperately need when I putt. And absolutely, going from steel to that Diamana product was a huge boost in my confidence, just because it felt so good to me.
Absolutely. And that's what the player tells us every time we speak about it. So it doesn't matter if it's a milled head. It doesn't matter if it's an insert head. It doesn't matter if it's a, you know, a traditional blade or a mallet. It does everything that putter does and gives it, you know, that much better feel and does everything a little bit better. But, yeah, speed control, roll, consistency, you know, that's what we're looking for in everything. But if you can get that in a putter and give yourself just a little bit more confidence, that's huge.
Yeah. Hey, I don't want to take too much of your day. I do have one final question, and hopefully you can offer us some solid feedback. We have a lot of listeners who are either experiencing fittings or afraid to go to fittings. They're not super sure what they want to do with their bag. And I think it'd be amazing if you just offer some advice to the folks out there, being what you've seen on tour. What is the best way to go about getting fit for a product? What would you recommend?
I would recommend going into your fitting place, studio, whatever have you, go to where you feel the most confident and go with an open mind, no matter your ability. So, you know, just because you swing 120 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour, you have a quick tempo, doesn't mean you're going to fit with in a window or excuse me, fit into this on paper. You know, there's guys out here that swing 120 miles an hour, and there's girls that swing, you know, fast that fit into soft parts like a red board or a Tensei 1K red. That's what I would say. I would say go in with, you know, somebody that's local, somebody you trust, somebody you can have a relationship with, because you're not probably not going to get it right, you know, every time. It's just the way it is. But go in with, you know, an open mind and go in knowing that it's not going to change your life, but it will make your misses better. It will make your tendencies better. And yeah, just keep an open mind and trust that that fitter, you know, knows what they're doing and trust that, you know, you're not going to go out and shoot, you know, if you're a bogey golfer, you're not going to go out and shoot, you know, 72 the next day. It's just not going to happen. Please just keep an open mind and trust that the fitter knows what they're doing and those incremental results will start getting better and better.
If there is a couple things that golfers should look for, because I think what happens is they get into these fitting bays and they're reading all these numbers and it's trying to be translated for them. And it's an awful lot to digest.
Right.
Personally, I think launch and descent angle, spin, and then feel would be kind of my top four things to focus on. Certain things that you'd personally focus on as a fitter or as a guy getting fit?
I would focus on consistency.
Okay.
So consistency is something that is, you know, I think forgotten about a lot of times. You know, you're always going to have misses, you know, and you want those misses. This is a game of misses, right? Nobody's perfect at this game. Nobody's going to hit their best shot every single time. But if you can get something that is consistent for you and, you know, if you're a drawer or a fader or whatever, you know, get something that maybe tightens you up a little bit. You don't have to go in there and say, oh, I hit this the farthest. I need to buy this. There's a reason that there's different kinds of heads out here on tour. There's a reason sometimes that the slower head out here on tour is going to be more used because it's consistent. It's straighter. You know what I'm saying? So I would say, really look at your patterns and your consistency, and you don't necessarily have to look up there and go, oh, I hit this one 268, the other one's 264, but the one I hit 264, I'm hitting much straighter and more consistent. That's what I would look at.
Yeah. One of the things that I've experienced in the past is who can do it on the which shaft and head connection can do it on the first shot, not on the third shot.
Amen. Because you're going to make adjustments. Right. It's just the way we are. We're creatures of habit, and we're going to try to make an adjustment to hit it straighter or farther every time. And when your body doesn't know, you know, or your mind doesn't know what you're going to feel, sometimes you're freer and you can make that judgment even better, you know?
Absolutely. Kevin, I really appreciate the time today, my friend. It has got to be an exciting thing to be at one of the meccas of the game. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks for your time, Dan. Take care.
All right. Hey, everyone out there, if you are playing golf this weekend, have fun or watch the Open. See if we can catch Kevin out there wandering around pointing at people saying wrong shaft, right shaft. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
What's going on, everybody? Jackson Bragg here, product marketing coordinator at True Temper Sports here in San Diego, filling in for Professor Don Brown for this week's edition of Shaft University. Question that came to us this week: what is an equivalent in the graphite and the iron section compared to dynamic gold? Honest answer is there really isn't one, but something close and that I'd recommend is the steel fiber I-125 constant weight. That graphite's going to dampen vibration, be a little bit softer on the elbows and wrists, allow you to keep that ball flight lower, be a great shaft for you to go and test. Give it a try. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.